REM, a post-punk quartet from a tiny college town in northeast Georgia. It was an enormous opportunity. It was also a surprising time for their lead singer to decide that he didn't want to answer any questions from late night's popular host, David Letterman. As they became full-fledged recording artists, the band focused on the new array of expectations they couldn't tolerate. They wouldn't write songs with traditional structures or craft lyrics that could be parsed for literal meaning. Assuming you could pick out what was being said, which you probably couldn't, because REM wouldn't mix the vocals above the instruments and also wouldn't include a lyric sheet with their records. They wouldn't work with a producer who wanted to make their songs more radio-friendly. When the time came to promote their records on the road, the band refused to tour as an opener for most of the successful bands that offered them a shot at their larger audiences. They made occasional exceptions, as when they spent a week playing short sets in arenas and stadiums on the Police's 1983 tour. But they disliked the experience so intensely that they vowed never to do it again. Other acts asked. The executives at IRS, who understood the promotional possibilities, keened for a yes. REM held firm. No, no, and no. When they started making promotional videos for their records, Michael Stipe wouldn't lip-sync his vocals for the camera, though that was the standard practice in virtually all popular videos. When the former art student turned singer started overseeing the production of their music videos, he refused to make clips that resembled anything else being aired on MTV, opting instead to make avant-garde art films, often abstract to the point of formlessness, all but guaranteeing they would never be broadcast. A refusal of another sort, but a refusal just the same. David Letterman was a music fan who enjoyed chatting on the air with the artists he brought onto his show. Ordinarily, a band's singer serves as the front man in interviews as well as on stage, so the late-night staff assumed the host would address his questions to REM's singer. But then Michael resolved that he didn't want to speak on the show. The singer was feeling shy. He didn't have anything to say that wasn't in his lyrics. The late-night producers found this surprising, but told that the band's guitarist would be happy to step in, they said, "Okay, fine." When their song was over, Peter could join Letterman at the desk where he sat for the bulk of the show. But wait, because Peter didn't want to sit down all on his own. Couldn't bassist Mike Mills come with him? Well, no, because Letterman hated trying to interview two people at once. It made him nervous, not knowing where to look. The show's staffers worked out a compromise. When the time came to chat, Letterman would walk over to where the band was set up and ask his questions there. Peters said that would be acceptable. They had their reasons for being so stubborn. Rock music, like the rest of the culture, was an ebb tide in the early 1980s. Synthetic sounds, corrupt ideals, a catalog of gestures and poses designed to signal rebellion while actually enforcing the rigid conformity brought to bear by the various industrial, political, and social authorities. REM wanted nothing to do with any of it. They were too smart, too confident, too in love with what they did to want to change it in order to get ahead. That's what their litany of refusals signaled, anyway. And for the people who got it, who knew why saying no to the prevailing culture was so important, it mattered. The day of the Letterman show, the members of REM were incredibly nervous. Once they did their run-through for the cameras, they went back to the dressing room and felt the pressure of the moment slap them in the face. They were going to be on national television. For a band from a small town with only one album and one EP on an indie label and a sum total of zero hit songs to their credit, it was a big leap. An audience in the millions. They had some friends in their dressing room and a couple of cases of beer, so they cracked those open and started drinking, figuring that would calm them down. At one point, the door swung open, and David Letterman...